Today, we're blessed with the special blessing of having a baptismal service. And I get excited when we have baptismal services because it's a special blessing from the Lord. The Lord has promised to bless in a special way when we follow in the obedience of gospel baptism. And every baptism that I've ever witnessed, it's sort of like the folks in Acts. It says that they went away rejoicing in the Lord. And so I know we're dependent upon the Lord to bless today, but I'm expecting that God will bless because He has in the past and He's promised that He'll bless us. So as we look at God's Word, I want to look at a little bit of what the Scriptures have to say about baptism. There's a portion of a verse in Acts chapter 8 that I want to look at specifically here. And we'll look at the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. But the eunuch says, he makes a short statement right here after Philip has preached to him and counseled with him for a little while. The Ethiopian eunuch asked this real simple question. He says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" I want to present that question to you. Now, many of you here have been baptized, and you have some special memories of the day that you were baptized. And you can travel back as we look at these verses, and hopefully you'll be able to relate to those times. I've told you many times that my grandmother, when she was almost 90 years of age, she couldn't tell you about the current events. She couldn't tell you about the things that happened this week. But if you could get her mind to travel back to the date of her baptism, which had been 85 years before, it was just as clear as it could be. And she could relate that great blessing of the wonderful experience of baptism. But the Ethiopian eunuch, he presents a question here. He says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And I want to look at some of the statements that have been told to me through the years that folks have used to hinder them from being baptized. Now, we'll look at the experience here of the Ethiopian eunuch and of Philip, and this is a wonderful experience. In verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying..." Now, I don't know if God works exactly the same way today as He did back then. But Philip was impressed of the Lord. It says that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. I don't know that God does it exactly the same way today. He certainly could. He could put it in the heart of somebody or even in the heart of an angel to speak to someone. But it says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man, this Ethiopian eunuch, he was returning, and it says he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet." If you go over and look in Isaiah, he was reading out of Isaiah. And it says that the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now, I don't know that God uses angels exactly the same way that He did in the life of Philip. He certainly could. But God does impress with His Spirit. And God does open doors just like He did back in the time of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And God does work on both ends at the same time. Now, Brother Asa and Brother Chuck and Brother Steve Aquino and myself and all the ministers that you might know of, we desire that God direct us in the paths that He'd have us to go. And if there's a person or a group of people or an individual in this area that the Lord has planted something within their heart and they have a desire to know more about the Lord, it's our desire that we'll be led of the Holy Spirit to go and speak in the name of the Lord. And we delight for those opportunities. Just like the opportunity that we Brother Chuck was talking about the other day, the blessing that we had in Southampton and in Hopewell, New Jersey. The opportunities that we're blessed with in New York City, the folks that come together to hear the gospel. It was a great encouragement last week when the Chastain family drove all the way down from Connecticut just for the purpose of going to church and hearing the gospel. They've been very encouraging and supportive of the work up in New York. It's a blessing when you hear that there's a little group of people up in Boston that may have a desire to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the Lord does still, in that frame of mind, we believe God still works in that way. If it's just up to us to say, I think I'm going to go on a preaching trip and I'm going to go where I want to go rather than where the Lord wants me to go, we can't really expect the blessings of the Lord. But if the Lord puts it in the hearts of individuals, and it's neat to see how that God's working in both ends of the spectrum at the same time. God was working in the heart of Philip. Philip didn't know the eunuch. He didn't know anything about the eunuch. God was fixing to open a way, and God was directing Philip. And then the eunuch, he says, I'm reading, but I don't understand what I'm reading. God, would you bless me with somebody that might be able to explain what I'm reading here? And God put the two together. And God still blesses like that today. It's amazing how God is working behind the scenes, working through the scenes in our lives. That God still blesses today in bringing us together for the purpose of the glory of Jesus Christ. Well, briefly, we'll go through this and we'll look. It says that he was reading, and he was reading Isaiah, and he says, I don't understand what I'm reading. And Philip, it says that when, it says, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. It says, Philip, it says he didn't put it off. Or Philip said, well, I'll do it later. It said, Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Then Philip says to him, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, I can't. He says, how can I understand except some man would guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up with him and sit with him. It says the place where he read was in the scriptures. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb to the shear, as like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, in his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, he said, I pray thee, who's he talking about? What's he talking about? Is he talking about a prophet? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about some other man? And then Philip, and I think this is such a beautiful display of the gospel of Jesus Christ being presented. You've got a little fellow there that's reading, and he says, I don't understand it all. In fact, I'm not even sure who it's talking about. But I want to know more. And you've got Philip that's saying, I want to tell you. I welcome the opportunity to talk to you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. And says Philip jumps up into the chariot and he begins to talk to the eunuch about Jesus Christ. And it says he preached unto him Jesus Christ. Now I seriously doubt that Philip went down through every one of the articles of faith of the Primitive Baptist. I'm not opposed to that, and I think that's good. And I think when you follow in baptism, it's good to know what you're joining. And I welcome an opportunity to share the articles of faith. I seriously doubt that Philip went through completely the doctrine of total depravity. I doubt he went through unconditional election. He may have touched on it. I doubt he addressed fully in detail limited atonement or irresistible grace. Or I doubt that he saw the issue between perseverance and preservation. He just simply got up there and he preached Jesus Christ. And he began to tell him about this lamb that was slain. He began to tell him about the love that Jesus Christ had for him. He began to tell him about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make upon the cross of Calvary. And I'm sure he began to tell him that that love of Jesus Christ was shed abroad in his heart and upon him. He began to tell him about Jesus Christ. He began to preach to him about Jesus Christ. And it says that when he preached to him, the eunuch responded. The eunuch responded. It says, Philip opened his mouth. He began to preach and the eunuch responded. And it says, as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. That wasn't a cup of water. It wasn't a bottle of water. It wasn't a saucepan full of water. But it was a body of water that was deep enough to baptize. Talked to Sister Hayes this morning, and she was talking about Etta being baptized, and she said, well, I was hoping I could be there. She said, we were talking about the river or talking about the baptistry, and she says, it's all water. Well, whether it's enough water in the river, enough water in the baptistry, it's water. It says they went on their way and they came to certain water. And if you go over into Matthew chapter 3, you'll see that Jesus Christ went down into the water. It says they came unto certain water and the eunuch said, see, here is water. The eunuch says this. The eunuch raises this question. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I'm going to read through some of the things that might hinder us from being baptized. When we're young, Satan will tell you, he'll say, it's better for you to wait till you're older. When you're a young person, Satan will convince you that wait till you're grown up to be baptized. And when you're grown up, Satan's going to tell you, wait till you reach old age. As long as I can be baptized and I can die in the church and I can have an old Baptist funeral, then that's all I need. Well, that's not what the Lord would have to say. In fact, if you go over to the Old Testament example of Ecclesiastes, he says, remember your Creator when you get to middle age, when you get to old age. No, this verse is only for about half of the folks here at Mount Carmel, because only about half of you still qualify for this verse. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, I don't know how old youth is. I'm probably past youth. But there's some of you that are not. And this verse is for you. And you better use it. Because if you wait long enough, this verse is not going to be for you. If you live long enough, that verse is not going to apply to you. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Before the evil days draw nigh. He describes old age as the evil days. And he goes down and he describes old age and the challenges and the difficulties of old age before the evil days draw nigh. So you're not going to find any place in God's Word that we're instructed to wait till we get to an old age to follow in gospel baptism. No. He says we're to follow the Lord in our youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh. The second one that Satan would convince us. Maybe we've been disappointed by somebody in the church or discouraged by them. Maybe we saw somebody that discouraged us or disappointed us and we said, I don't want to be a part of that body because there's sinners there. Jen, your great-grandmother was talking to a man that was talking about joining Mount Carmel Church. Sister Perry told me this story. And he said, I don't want to join that church because there's hypocrites in that church. Sister Thompson said, oh, come on, there's room for one more. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. The Apostle Paul spends a big portion of the chapter saying, that I would do, I do not, and that I would not do, I do. You're not joining a church with a perfect group of people. You're joining a body that has the same struggles that you have. One of my greatest disappointments about being baptized was I had the idea that somehow I was going to be able to be above sin after I was baptized. I thought, I'm going to be able to handle sin better. And I tell you, before the day was out, I realized that I still had that old sin nature within me. You're joining a group of people that are sinners. You're joining a group of people that are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. If you're waiting to find the perfect church, you might as well just keep looking. Because I seriously doubt that you're going to ever find the perfect church. So if you're waiting to be baptized because maybe somebody's discouraged you along the way, you need to realize that's not the reason to be baptized. The third one is, Satan might tell you, well, you don't know enough to be baptized. You don't understand enough about the doctrine. You don't understand all there is to know about the Bible. And in light of that, when I read the Bible, there's so much that I don't understand that why would I be baptized if I don't understand it all? Did you know that when Philip met the eunuch that he didn't explain it all right then? And when Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 called the disciples to go out and teach, he gives us a real good example right here. The disciples were to go out and teach. And I believe that when they taught, we have the example that they taught about Jesus Christ. They taught the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But he says, when I call you to go out, I'm calling you to go out and teach. I'm calling you to go out and baptize. And it didn't stop right there. He says, I'm calling you to go out and teach, baptize, and then teach some more. So we can't use the excuse. We can't use the excuse that I don't know enough about it. Do you know what the requirement was for the Ethiopian eunuch right here? The eunuch says, he says, here Philip is preaching to him about Jesus Christ. And he says, see here, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Are there any hindrances that would keep me from being baptized? He says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, here's the requirement right here. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You may not understand all there is to understand about the doctrines of grace. You may not understand all the precepts, all the teachings in God's word. But if God has done a work of grace in your heart, and you have a hope of Jesus Christ in your heart, and you believe in Jesus Christ, that's a requirement right there for baptism. Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, and this is the testimony of the child of God. You shouldn't be baptized if you can't say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the requirement for baptism. You don't have to understand all the doctrines of grace. You don't have to understand all the extents of depravity. You don't have to understand all the extent of immediate regeneration. You don't have to understand all of that. But you do have to understand that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And he says, that's the requirement. He says, if thou believest And he answered and he said, I do believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's a good indication that you ought to consider following in gospel baptism. Let's look at the next one right here. People say, well, I just don't understand. There's too many things in the Bible that's hard for me to understand. Jesus Christ taught the disciples, you go teach, you baptize, you teach. When Lydia and also the jailer, they brought their household together, it says that when they were baptized, they constrained the apostles. They constrained the disciples. They asked them, stay a little while longer. Stay longer and talk to us about, teach us more about the Lord. So the example that we have in the scripture is teach, baptize, and teach some more. That's where the gospel church comes into play, is teaching a little bit more. And do you know that we don't ever get to the point that we've learned it all? If we live to be 100 years old, we're still going to be in the mindset and the mentality of learning. Next one that we'll mention. I visited a church. It's not there any longer, but it was in Fairfax, Virginia, or Alexandria, Virginia. And while I was there, I met these two twin sisters. They were in their 70s. I've mentioned this to some of you before. They were in their 70s. And we were talking during the lunchtime in between services. We were having lunch. They were in their mid-70s, two twin sisters. And I asked them, who was it that baptized you? When did you get baptized? First time I'd met them. They said, we've attended here all of our life, but we've not yet been baptized. I was perplexed. They'd attended all their life. They believe the doctrines, they love the Lord, they love the church, and they hadn't followed in baptism. I asked them why. And they said, well, we've been waiting for a tremendous experience. They said, we want you to meet our aunt. She was 94 years old. An old aunt, 94 years old. I asked her, when were you baptized? She said, I haven't been. Gone here all my life. I said, why? She said, I've been waiting for an experience. God works with each one of us differently. You parents that have children, you know that each one of them are completely different. God knows we're different. And God works with each one of us differently. And for some people, it does take an experience like the Apostle Paul, where he was quickened on the road to Damascus and it turned him around. Brother Frank Rogers, if he was here, he could tell you the very minute that the Lord spoke to him. It was so profound. Larry Davis, if he was here, he could take you to the fourth step going down to the basement here when the Lord reached him and turned him around. But for most of us, God doesn't speak the same way. For most of us, God speaks in a still small voice. But did you know that following in gospel baptism, it should not be based on how we feel? It shouldn't be based on that feeling. It should be based solely on realizing that this is an example that my Lord and Savior set for me, and I want to follow in obedience. This is an example of obedience, and I desire to follow in this obedience. Now, I think that one reason that we put emotions and feelings into it, it's because it is an emotional time. When we experience somebody being baptized, it's a happy time. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time when you witness your brothers and sisters making a commitment before the Lord that they're saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I'm selling myself out to the flesh and to sin, and I want to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ the rest of my life. It's not saying you're going to be perfect. It's not saying you're going to be above sin. but it is saying you're making a profession before your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we believe in professions of faith, but it's not to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was brought up in a group that taught two things. They taught you have to make a profession and you have to be baptized in order to get your name in heaven, in order to secure your name in heaven. That is not what baptism's for. But to not discount baptism, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says it is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You're not going to pay the price for your sins by following in gospel baptism. You're going to feel like you are because it's so refreshing. It's such a blessing. And it blesses your soul. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but he says it is the answer of a good conscience before God. Now, this isn't the only time, but this is certainly a good time when one should follow in gospel baptism. When God stirs your conscience up, when God convicts your conscience, that's the time to follow in gospel baptism. And by the way, when he does it, I want to encourage you. Now, there may be some husbands and wives here that feel like I'm overstepping my bounds. But I want to encourage you that your baptism is between you and the Lord. And it's when the Lord touches your heart and he stirs your heart and he convicts you that it is an act of gospel obedience to follow in baptism. I've had folks that said, well, I'm going to wait till my husband does. Or I'm going to wait till my wife does. And I understand the sentimental aspect of it. And that's a great blessing when husbands and wives do. But let me tell you how God works. That's a blessing when that happens. But don't you hold off and not follow in obedience because husband or wife or mother or father or grandmother or grandfather doesn't do it. If God has stirred your heart, that's between you and Almighty God. And you're accountable to the Lord for that act of obedience. I'll tell you how the Lord works. You saw it, many of you did. I got a phone call on about Thursday, about 15 years ago. And it was Sister Polk. And she said, I've been waiting for Jack to follow in baptism, her husband. I've been waiting for Jack to follow in baptism. And she says, I want to be baptized. And she says, I just can't hardly wait any longer. I so much feel like I need to be baptized. I want to be baptized. And she says, I've hinted around to Jack about it. And she says, he just doesn't seem to grab a hold of it. And she says, I just don't know how much longer I can wait. What should I do? I says, when the Lord stirs your heart, you go for it. You go forward to be baptized. She was in her late 70s. He was as well. The next Sunday, we had communion. We invited everybody to stay and witness communion, even the ones that were not baptized members. Brother and Sister Polk sat on the back row in the back. And as we were having the communion service, the Spirit just blessed so much, and she got so full of the Spirit, she couldn't hardly sit on the pew. She was so excited. And when we realized it, we extended the opportunity for her to unite with the church. And those of you that were here, you remember it. She came down that aisle going full steam ahead. I'm telling you, if you'd have stood in front of her, she'd have knocked you down. She was coming full steam down the aisle. And when she got to the front, she knelt down on the floor and she prayed, Lord, would you bless these folks to have me? I want a home with these people. Do you know what? When she looked up, you know who was there with her? Brother Jack Polk. He said, I've been wanting to be baptized too. He'd kind of been waiting on her. She'd been waiting on him. Look how the Lord works. Don't hold off. Let the Lord be in charge of that. He'll take care of it. You just follow in obedience. Oh, it's a blessing when husbands and wives, it's a blessing when families unite with the church. It sure is. But that's just an added blessing. That's not the reason to do it. The last one that I'll mention, I don't think that some folks understand the importance of baptism. What does it do? Certain times of the years you can of the year you can drive up 95 or you can drive around Baltimore, and you know who the Ravens fans are. Or the Orioles. I saw somebody raise their hand back there. I grew up in West Texas, and it was Texas Tech all the way. Red and black, year-round. Not just when they were having football games, it was year-round. Texas Tech all the way. The stores would put flags out front, Texas Tech flags out front. The Red Raider with the mask on and all that. And folks had bumper stickers on their cars. Folks would even put a flag on the antenna of the car, on the radio antenna of the car, driving around with a flag on there, so that others would know that you were through and through a Texas Tech fan. There were banks that promoted Texas Tech Day. There were department stores. There were service stations that would give a discount on your gas on game day if you were a Texas Tech fan. I mean, it just went all the way to the limit. And I'm sure that if somebody bled, they bled Texas Tech blood, because it just went to the very max and the very limit. Folks wanted you to know that they were Texas Tech fans. And it sticks with them all through their life. Well, did you know that one of the blessings of following in gospel baptism is that it identifies you as a disciple and a believer of Jesus Christ? You come forward and you say, I'm making a profession that I'm going to be a follower of Christ. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He paid a big price for my sins. And in my small way, I desire to follow in the example that my Savior Jesus Christ set. In Matthew chapter 3, it tells us that Jesus Christ said, John says, I'm not worthy to baptize Christ. Jesus Christ was baptized, and He says, suffer me to fulfill all righteousness. He set the example of baptism. There's a whole lot of aspects of baptism that we could talk about, the administrator, the mode, many different things about baptism. But Jesus Christ set the example for us. And it identifies us as followers of Jesus Christ. Did you know that your act of following in baptism, it's going to be a great statement to those that are around you? I got a phone call, and it was Elder Don Ferris, and he said, this morning in church, your grandfather came and sought baptism. Granddad had lived in the church. If the church needed a roof, Granddad was out there to put the roof on, fix the air conditioner, whatever he could do. But he never followed in gospel baptism. I really got to the point I didn't think he would. I didn't. But I tell you, if you identify yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, that's a great blessing to your wife, to your husband. It's a great blessing to your children. It's a great blessing to your grandchildren. It's a great blessing to your peers at school. It's a great blessing to your friends at work. That I have identified myself as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. That's one of the blessings that the disciples had and that Christ had in setting the example of gospel baptism. Baptism, what does it represent? It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It represents Christ going to the grave, but not staying there. So far, I've never witnessed a baptism that somebody just stayed down. Not yet. And I don't think we ever will. And the reason why is because Christ went to the grave, but he stayed there for a short season, and then Christ came forth. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism represents. And it is a witness and a testimony and an identification for the folks that are around you, for you yourself, and for the angels in heaven. You think we're rejoicing here. There's angels in heaven that are rejoicing when one of the Lord's little ones comes home. God's given you as an extra benefit. He's given you the church to live in and labor in, after you followed in gospel baptism.